being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time to hear the truth, unfiltered. It's Sean Salisbury, unfiltered. He's played football, baseball, and basketball. He played pro football for 10 years, and he's been a broadcaster for 12 years. Now he takes it to the internet radio airwaves. Get ready for sports talk like you've never heard before. Now, here's Sean Salisbury.
Hey. Yeah, that female voice wasn't mine. You know, certain things happen. Stuff happens. What are you going to do? But we got it all settled and fixed up, and we're ready to go. She was talking about gurus. Well, let's hope we can get some gurus calling in today as we continue to build this great show on Sean Salisbury Unfiltered. And hopefully in the next couple of weeks, you'll see us at 2 hours a day, which will put us from about 7 Pacific to 10 Eastern, till noon Eastern, which in the Central Time Zone is going to be about 9 to 11. If my calculations are right, which gives 2 hours of awesome, awesome sports in-your-face talk. Got some exciting things going on also, and I'll pub those soon, so pay attention to my Facebook, and you can get on there and go to Facebook and get on my Sean Salisbury Unfiltered Facebook page, and then follow me at Twitter, twitter.com/SeanUnfiltered. But right here on Voice America Sports, and we are unfiltered. You know, we'll get to our college football matchups. Kansas guy, boy, Turner Gill, who, you know, many people thought a couple years ago before Bo Pelini took over, a lot of people wanted Turner Gill to be the head coach of Nebraska. I believe Turner Gill is a good football coach, and this completely validates my point. And then he goes to Buffalo, you know, and kicks, you know, as an assistant coach for a while, goes to Buffalo and becomes the head coach, University of Buffalo, and actually makes them a really good team. Turner Gill is a good football coach, so Kansas hires him in the offseason. But it just goes to show you, and this validates what I'm telling you about coaches. There's a handful of difference makers in this country that can take chicken shit and make it chicken salad, okay? There's a handful of them. For the most part, if you don't have players or you don't have great schemes, it's about the players. Kansas goes there, they lost their quarterback from last year, trying to get a new one. They've lost some good players, wide receiver, and now you look at Turner Gill's getting beat by Kansas State by 50-plus. So, and Turner Gill's a good football man, good guy, wonderful guy, and a great football coach. Bo Pelini goes to Nebraska after being an assistant at Oklahoma. Now Bo Pelini has got a national championship, national caliber type football team. He's got players, a wonderful freshman quarterback, defense. It just goes to show you the difference. Monty Kiffin at USC is good a defensive coordinator we've ever had at any level. Goes to USC, and USC's defense can't stop anybody. And you say, USC, how can they not stop anybody? Well, look at it. And now Monty Kiffin's from a genius to a what happened. It goes to show you it's about players. Anybody, any coach out there that wants to pat himself on the back too much, be careful, because you're not going to find me five or in college football, maybe 10 because it's so many teams. But in the NBA and the National Hockey League and NFL, you're not going to find me five difference makers to the point where it's, oh, my gosh, they're worth a couple wins themselves, meaning coaches. You're just not. Players, yes. Take Peyton Manning off Indianapolis. They win six games maybe, and Jim Caldwell gets fired. Simple. No matter how good a coach Jim Caldwell is, no players. Just remember Ray Rhodes when he left Green Bay and went to Philadelphia and was the coach of the year 1 year and was fired, what, within 2 years after? Bill Callahan goes to a Super Bowl and is fired, what, a year and a half later? So it doesn't. You can slice it any way you want. You either got players or you don't. And there's very few of the Bill Belichicks, the Nick Sabans or Steve Spurrier. Spurrier can win at Duke. Spurrier can win at South Carolina. Spurrier can win at Florida. There's not a lot of guys like that. Turner Gill has no players. Turner Gill's getting his ass kicked in Kansas, but he's still a good football coach. He didn't overnight forget how to coach, but you better get some players. Because if you're recruits in that part of the country watching Kansas State just annihilate you on your home field, things aren't good. But that's not my Kansas. Kansas State is not my focus. Only reason I threw Kansas in there, my son goes to Kansas, but just to make them, that validates how a good coach can go to a team that doesn't have players and he becomes a bad coach. He didn't forget how to coach, but all of a sudden everybody says he's a bad coach. And I'm quite sure they're already calling for Turner Gill's head, which is fascinating. Hasn't even had a chance to get his own team in there. Be patient, my friends. So we'll talk college football. We'll talk the National Football League, pick our games. There are some upsets going to happen this weekend, as there is every weekend. See if I can help you through those. You know, when are these athletes going to learn, folks? When? I'm going through last night and, you know, looking through the internet and reading some things, and you see on TV and the rest of it. It's been going on and on, University of North Carolina with the agent situation, USC situation. I mean, everywhere you turn, to Jeremiah Masoli, you know, Masoli when he went to Ole Miss. I mean, it's rampant. So we got to change one of two things. We either got to tell these athletes that they're not bigger than the sport and they're dumbasses and they don't learn, and you got to start kicking them out of school immediately. Or the college football's got to make some, and I'm not just referring to college. There's NFL, all of this, but I'm on college basketball right now, just for the heck of it. When are these guys going to stop hitting their women, stop beating them up, and stop taking money from people, and stop taking money from agents, and stop driving new cars? When do you learn? And please don't tell me the coach doesn't know. Don't tell me Pete Carroll didn't know about Reggie Bush at USC. I'm an SC guy. Please don't tell me he didn't know. Because if he didn't know, then he wasn't very in charge of that program. And I love Pete. I'm not saying he was at fault for what he did. That he had a conspiracy theory part of a behind the scenes with Reggie. But don't tell me he didn't hear whispers and didn't know. Don't tell me. Don't tell me Butch Davis had no clue what was going on in North Carolina. If you do, you're full of shit. Don't tell me this. Don't tell me John Calipari doesn't know what's going on in his program. Or Rick Pitino at his. Don't. Or Jim Calhoun at his. Please, don't tell me that. Because if you do, you're mistakenly wrong. Because every school in this country cheats. Period. Now, the level of cheating, I don't know. Don't tell me Urban Meyer doesn't know what's going on. Hell, that's doggone, that's as close to Leavenworth as you can get playing on that campus. And Urban's a hell of a football coach. You can't babysit them all, folks, is my point. You can't babysit them all. So if we're going to get to this point, beat them or join them. And eventually I'm going to dedicate a two-hour show, when it comes that way, to paying college athletes and why we should or shouldn't do it. But just hear this now. Listen to this. You know, Kansas coach Bill Self wants to make sure that Josh Selby is one of the great freshmen in the country, a kid from Baltimore, a wonderful player. They think that it's going to come to a positive conclusion, but want to know if he's eligible to play because of determines whether he received a salary. Oh, no, this is Kentucky, Eric Cantner. The 6'11 rookie is in doubt of the NC2A, determines whether he received a salary in addition to reasonable living expenses while he played in Turkey. Kansas coach Bill Self wants to know, is optimistic, it was cleared to play by the NC2A, meaning Josh Selby, which was looking into his academic and amateur status. So there we go, trying to beat the system academically. In Connecticut, officials, including Jim Calhoun, will be in Indianapolis today about the NC2A, before the NC2A infractions committee. A week ago, the school issued a report outlining major recruiting violations, announced it would place itself on 2 years probation and drop a scholarship each of the next two seasons. At Baylor, Lace Darius Dunn, who is a hell of a player, he averaged almost 20 points a game, he is suspended from competition after being charged with felony assault against his girlfriend. She dropped that charge, or asked the charge be dropped, and Dunn led Baylor, and they're a good team, and an NC2A team. But his suspension from classes was lifted by Baylor Disciplinary Board last week, so he gets to go to class. So he got it from being, you know, an assault against his girlfriend. Will Graves from North Carolina's Ray Williams team would have been a valuable reserve, was kicked off the team for an unspecified rule violation. Mississippi State's Renardo Sidney missed last season in NC2 investigated allegations of his family receiving extra benefits. He was also suspended for the first 9 games of the season. Teammate D. Boast, who averaged 13 points, is academically ineligible for the fall semester. Wake Forest parted ways with junior Tony Woods after pleading guilty to misdemeanor assault against his girlfriend. Tennessee, a regional finalist last season, experts to receive a notice of allegations from the NC2A this year that will address Coach Bruce Pearl lying to investigators, among other violations. That's just a small sampling of what's going on as we prepare, as we look into the college basketball season. What is going on here, folks? It's 888-346-9144. Is the NC2A too overboard with their standards, or the taking money or academic standards, which the one thing I do agree with the NCAA is they've raised academic standards. If you're not smart enough, and don't tell me it's the environment you're raised in to tell you how good you are in class. No. If a kid's raised, probably don't rely on school teachers to raise your damn kids. When a kid goes to school, I don't want to hear because he's out in the country or he's in the city or he's white or he's black. I don't want to hear it. Yes, obviously there's tougher times in certain school systems because they won't pay certain teachers, and our country's got it backwards. The thing we rely on the most is our teachers to take care and teach our kids, and we pay them the least. The education system gets screwed. We're grabbing their ankles twice over in this country. That being said, I'm glad the NCAA does one thing right. Their academic standards are higher, so we make sure that when these kids get in, not only do they get in, but they finish. Because getting in doesn't do shit for you. Finishing is what does it. Because most of these guys aren't going to sniff the NBA or pro football. They're just not. They're just not. But when it comes to some of these that now on the kid side, what do you do? How many times are we going to let a guy punch his girlfriend in the mouth? Drag his girl down the stairs by her hair? Grab her around the throat? How many times? You want to talk about a no-tolerance rule? If you found guilty abusing a kid, kicking a kid, hitting a kid, or grabbing your woman around the throat and dragging her down the stairs or hitting her in the face, you can't play. It's that simple. It's a privilege, not a right. If your dumb ass is crazy enough to hit a woman in the face, you're a pussy-ass coward, number one. And number two is, you don't get the right to go out there and do something special. Let the law take its toll and find out who's guilty and who isn't. But if you're guilty, we don't get you. You don't get to come back. There's too many good kids that want to play. If you're hitting your girl, you know what? Your ass ought to be in a padded cell. It's Sean Salisbury Unfiltered. I got problems with the NCAA, and I got problems with some of these kids or athletes or anyone who wants to lay a hand to a lady. But I do have a problem with the NCAA that a guy gets paid more for a summer job than he should, and all of a sudden we're going to suspend him. Stop it, folks. But they'll sure as shit take that money from you when they're making $20 million on a Saturday watching USC play Ohio State, won't they? I'm Sean Salisbury Unfiltered, and I'm fired up. And guys, you hit your woman, and the athletes that are hitting their woman, I'll tell you what, talk about a no-tolerance rule, kick their ass out now. They don't deserve to play sports. And vice versa. For the women, too. But if a woman's beating up on her man, then he's qualified as a biznotch anyway. I'm Sean Salisbury. This is Voice America Sports. We are Unfiltered at 888-346-9144.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network. Get the inside scoop on the Georgia Bulldogs. Tune in to Keelan Johnson on College Football Game Day, on the radio, and every day on KeelanJohnson.com. On Keelan's Keeping It Real Radio, you can talk to Keelan and his former teammates about the Bulldogs, college football, and all things sports. Keelan's the go-to analyst for Bulldog football on pre- and post-game television on KeelanJohnson.com. And now, every week on the Voice America Sports Channel. Tune in every college game day for Keelan Johnson, Keeping It Real Radio. Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern and 8 a.m. Pacific. Get ready to talk sports with someone who definitely has an opinion, but respects yours as well. The beginning of every week is Crunch Time with Keenan Howery. We'll talk about what happened this weekend and what to look forward to next weekend. Keenan and his guests are ready to discuss the issues with you about football and sports in general. It's Crunch Time with Keenan Howery. Every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. And make your voice heard.
Is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. That goes O'Neal. He's out.
tough shot. Got it with 2.8 seconds left.
To left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to seansals@gmail.com. That's S-E-A-N-S-A-L-S @gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, folks, so what's going to change? Is the NCAA going to lighten their rules and say maybe we should put a stipend for athletes so they're not out taking extra money from alumni because, you know what, they're all doing it? You know what, that's not fair. That is not fair. A lot of them are doing it. Some of them are doing it. It's not fair to generalize and say they're all doing it. No. But I believe that every Division I school in this country has something that's gone on that's matter of fact, I'd be willing to bet my life and mortgage and everything else I own on the fact that every Division I school in this country has done something to violate NCAA rules. Knowingly or not knowingly. That's the problem. Now, when they come out with this handbook that says what's a violation of a rule, just like when they come out in the NFL with these drug violations, say you can't take this, 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 and this, and some dumbass goes out there and still fails a test, then is that the NFL's fault or the ignorant athlete who doesn't read what's put in front of them? And I can tell you this, when they hand out the drug list preseason in the NFL of what the NFL security comes in and does all that, I've never seen a soul read the entire thing they give them. They don't take that ends up in a trash can. They don't read that. Ends up in the trash can. Some of them are left in the seats out of the auditorium in the meeting room when they even walk out after the meeting 10 minutes later. So they don't read that. Coaches, even guys that are recruiting. I mean, you tell me a college football coach doesn't know the recruiting manual and understand, oh, you can't do this, you can't do this, then ask somebody. But are they too stringent with this? Is the NCAA ridiculous over some of the crap they have? And why should a player, and be honest, in defense of Kentucky's player that was over there playing basketball, I think Kantner's his name, 6'11", Ennis Kantner is in doubt as the NCAA whether he received a salary in addition to reasonable living expenses while playing for a senior club team in Turkey. I'm assuming that he is from that country. I don't know, and I've heard of the player, but I don't know his background. But Ennis Kantner, E-N-E-S Kantner, I would assume that he's probably from there. And if he's from there, and that's his summer job in the office, why is that a problem? Why is that an issue? Is it an unfair recruiting problem for Kentucky? As if everybody in Turkey is over there and is saying, ooh, he gets to come over here and play in Turkey. I think I'm going to Kentucky. If the guys can go over there and earn some money in the offseason, well, then people can say, well, he's a pro. Yeah, well, guess what? We don't allow in the NBA, but if we're allowed to let a guy over there and somebody wants to pay him to play basketball, like a summer job, if you would be a counselor at a camp, why are we putting a ceiling on what the guy can earn when he's not playing college basketball at the NCAA? Why do we do this? Why do we do this? It's not like as a college football player, you can also play in the NFL on Sunday after a Saturday game. But if it's not conflicting with what you do, it's in your home country, a team's going to pay you to play some club. It's a club team. It's not even a pro team. It's a senior club team. Why can't the guy go pay and get paid? As a college student, you can go work at Exxon Oil in the office and get paid. Oh, so they're supposed to put a ceiling on if a boss says, man, this guy's a damn good worker. He's a 19-year-old college sophomore, but you know what? He's a damn good worker. I'm going to pay him more than I pay a 30-year-old who's been here 7 years because he's earned it. Why is that a problem? Why does the NCAA have a problem? The guy went and played for a club team, and they gave him an apartment or gave him living expenses and paid him to play as his off-season job. Who cares? NCAA, quit meddling. You guys remind me of Scooby-Doo and the people say, you meddling kids. We hear that all the time. It's the same shit. NCAA, don't you got bigger fish to fry? Can't we get some rules to prevent these kids from beating on their girlfriends? Can't we get some rules that prevent agents from sleazily walking on campus and trying to swoop in and hawk in on a doggone 18-year-old kid who came from no money? And came in from no money and swoop down on him and behind. Who's going to turn it down, folks? I got news for you. I didn't turn it down. I didn't turn it down when an alumni put a TV in mine in my poor roommate's apartment. We didn't turn it down. We didn't turn it down. And an 18-year-old kid who comes from some school, I'm going to get to Tim in just a second, who comes from some school or growing up and had no money, his parent, you know, maybe not have a father or mother in the home, or they both work two jobs to try and support their family, and some alumni walks up and says, hey, man, I own a restaurant. Why don't you come on over here and eat three nights a week for free? I love Kentucky basketball. I love USC football. What am I going to say? No? Take your free beer back? The NC2A is full of shit with these rules. Okay? Crazy. Crazy. Certain rules, you know, spend more time trying to implement a drug testing program so these kids don't kill themselves. Spend more time implementing a no-tolerance policy when it comes to slapping your girlfriend around across the face because you're pissed at her because you fumbled on Saturday. Or because you can dunk on a Wednesday night or on a Friday night during the NC2A basketball tournament that you can slap your girl around because some guy checked her ass out in the bar. No. Now, it doesn't mean women can egg them on, but I don't care. There's nothing a woman could do to make you want to punch her in the face. How about NC2A start focusing on that and kicking these athletes out for knocking around their girl or beating on their kid? How about implementing something like that? But telling a guy who plays senior club ball in Turkey, that's no recruiting advantage. Just tell him the kid he goes out there and gets paid for it. So what? So what? Bigger fish to fry, NC2A. And I think NC2A basketball and NC2A football are the greatest sports on the planet. The greatest events on the planet. Blow the NFL away. NBA is not even in that league. Major League Baseball, until this time of year, not in that league either. College basketball, Final Four, March Madness, NC2A football every single week. That's what it's about. So you want to police the guys who are cowards and hitting their ladies. Don't police the guy who's able to go and play on his senior club team in Turkey and come back and say he's ineligible possibly because he was shooting hoops trying to better his game to make Kentucky better. Give me a break, NC2A. You're on my last nerve. But you athletes, give me a break too. That you're in there training your bodies and doing all the things you do and think it's okay because your girlfriend cussed at you or is jealous or read your cell phone that she's allowed to take a punch to the face and be grabbed around the neck. How damn dare you? See, you want to know tolerance, but then again, a guy who smokes a joint will put him in jail for 2 years, whether I condone it or not. Put him in jail for 2 years, but we'll give a guy a work service for punching his girl and knocking two teeth down her throat. No, not going to happen. Not going to happen. We got it all backwards. Let's get out to Tim in Florida. Tim, what's going on? Welcome to Voice America Sports.
Well, you wound up this morning, ain't you, buddy?
Well, you know what? I'm tired of these coward-ass athletes and people who think they can hit on women. And I'm tired of the NC2A policing shit they shouldn't police. You know what? It just we got bigger fish to fry. And the NC2A doesn't get it. And then these coaches who proclaim they didn't know when they got, I'm on all over it because coaches don't read and know the recruiting violations. There's too many recruiting violations, and there's too many athletes that think because they're athletes and had a red carpet rolled out for them that they can beat up some girls walking down the street because they felt like it's time. I'm sick of it. How you doing today?
Pretty good, thanks. I think part of the problem is that when they do set up a punishment, like in USC situation, whatever happened in Reggie Bush's era and those guys, the guys now pay for it. What the hell kind of sense is that? These guys had nothing to do with any of that stuff. Why penalize these kids now?
Now they give these kids that just recruited a chance to transfer and all that. Well, thank you, NC2A. We appreciate it. But a kid who was in the eighth grade when Reggie Bush was doing this, so all of a sudden he loses a couple years of a chance at a national championship game because Reggie Bush did it? I got plenty of other people, and boy, Pete Carroll skated, and I like Pete. I'm not saying he did anything wrong, but boy, did anybody that thinks that he didn't leave at the right time for a reason is out of their damn mind.
He's in the NFL now, isn't he?
He's in the NFL making about $7-8 million a year, has full power, got everything going, kind of looking back saying, I built the dynasty, but boy, did I get out before I knew this shit was going to hit the fan.
But you know, Sean, that's part of the problem right there. It's the money. As long as money's involved, they're never going to solve this problem.
And think about this, too, Tim. Think about this, too, Tim. Lane Kiffin went from Oakland Raiders to Tennessee Volunteers to the USC Trojans. Now, when Lane Kiffin went to in 16 months, when Lane Kiffin, and I like Lane, don't misunderstand, I'm using him as an example because he's the most prominent one right now.
Right.
Lane Kiffin left Tennessee. When those kids got recruited there, or let's say a sophomore who was there, and Lane came in and said, man, I love this guy, blah, 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 and he's there. But Lane Kiffin now gets to be rewarded
right.
to go get bigger money at USC, yet the kid who's there, who's a junior, has to can't transfer without sitting out. Now, you tell me how that works.
Well, sure. When the coach leaves, it sets the program back 2 or 3 years.
Of course, it sets it back. The coach gets rewarded with a bigger contract, and the players grab their ankles and take a big, long, hard one right in the backside.
Yep.
And it changes their life. But boy, oh boy, the coach goes and gets paid, doesn't he, and gets to laugh on his way out the door. Tim, you're great, man. I appreciate you, buddy. Next week, it's your role for an hour. You know that.
Yes, I'm ready, man.
Can't wait, buddy. Stay in touch. And Anthony,
right.
We'll get to you right after this. 2 minutes. We're coming back. We'll finish this. We got some college and NFL to get after. I'm fired up because I'm tired of people being abused, females being abused, NC2A abusing their stupid rules, and some of these coaches and players abusing the recruiting policy. You know what? Only way you're going to hit them is hit them in the pocket and take their game away from them, and then it'll stop. You keep rewarding them, it ain't going to stop, folks. This is Sean Stiles, Ram Unfiltered.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
We some hard hitters. We some hard hitters.
Hard Hitting Radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard Hitting Radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network.
Looking for a top show about horse racing and handicapping?
Looking to play the ponies?
Join us every week for Winning Ponies with Ed Meyer. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies website, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for listening. Winning Ponies with Ed Meyer is live Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
Don't miss the show that gives you exclusive access to your favorite pro athletes off the field and in our communities. Join host Nick Murphy for Heroes Radio. Hear it directly from the source as we take you behind the scenes with your favorite stars. It's sports, community, entertainment, and fun. And it's all part of Heroes Radio. Tune in Friday afternoons at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific, only on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bitch his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports. Locked in to Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
So my man Richard Self validates my point. Great email. Says, when I got to campus, I was handed a gold Amex with my name on it. Never saw a bill in 4 years. No idea where the bill went, but there was no telling how much that was worth over 4 years, and I was just a freaking tennis player. No telling what the football and basketball guys were getting. Any coach that says he's not aware of this stuff going on in their program is completely full of shit. Great show, always talk to you soon. And Richard hit it right on the head. Because if you don't know, that tells me you're not in charge of your program. When I was in school, they knew. They're the ones who assigned you an alumni, as they did at many other college campuses, if not all of them. Why do you think you go on a trip to LSU or to Indiana? I mean, I've covered these games too as a broadcaster, that they have these clubs, these hostesses clubs. And most of the girls aren't fat. They don't weigh 230 and ugly. I'm not saying they're sitting there and they're automatic. Their job is to get them laid. Don't misunderstand. They say, hey, go get them laid. No. But you know what? It's called enticement. And they're enticing these players, and the girl shows them around campus or walks them around, and she's a sorority girl, looks like $1 million. Trust me, I know, I've been there. I do know. And you cover it, and they're there. Go walk around on a Saturday at a big-time college program, Alabama. You'll see them. They have name tags and everything. And please don't tell me coaches don't know. They do. And when they know it's time to get out, they run like a bitch. And the players suffer for it. On the other hand, see, that's a three-pronged problem I got today. They run, they get paid, players suffer. Now, and there's no, I don't remember the last time a coach in the middle of the season who said, like when Bobby Petrino, I know it's NFL, when Bobby Petrino in the middle of the night left the Atlanta Falcons with a note on his lockers, on their lockers, without addressing the team so he could get to Arkansas and take the job. You mean the job couldn't have waited 12 more hours? Left notes on their damn lockers, people, and went to Arkansas and took that job. No punishment for him. Bam, gets it. There was no punishment that Lane Kiffin left after a year and said, you know what, I think I want to go be the guy at SC. Now, I don't problem a guy enhancing it and going, but you know what? How come we can put an eligibility limit on these players that they can't transfer without sitting out, and a coach can transfer within the same college football? Why shouldn't we make Lane Kiffin wait out? And I love Lane. He's my friend. I've known him since he was in high school. But why shouldn't he have to sit out if he's going to leave and leave a class hanging high and dry with their dicks in their hands? How come? And why is the NC2A ruled about a guy who plays basketball in Kentucky playing on a senior club game and during the offseason in his summer as a summer job getting paid by a Turkey senior club basketball team? So what? That's what they do there. It's not an unfair recruiting violation. If I'm working for ExxonMobil in my summer job at USC and they pay me more than the other recruit across the street at UCLA, tough crap. Why does that matter? And then the other side, you want a no tolerance rule with Ladarius Dunn, is going to beat up on his girlfriend, then, you know, maybe you should make him sit out. You know, the only way to hit these athletes is to take away what they love to do, and coaches or athletes to take the money, and the NFL take the money out of their pocket. Not $15,000 fine. You think Michael Jordan gave a crap about a $25,000 fine while he was playing golf instead of going to the NBA All-Star Game media day? Do you think Michael Jordan actually cared about that? Hey, Nike, by the way, could you call him up and pay for it? You think that actually put a dent in Jordan? $1 million is a dent. That's a dent. We got it all screwed up. And in the NC2A, if you're going to hit your girl and you're proven guilty, guess what? Your ass is not playing that year. Sorry, players. So it's NC2A rules are screwed up. Players, this physicality, and you know what? It's so funny, and the guys who a lot of times are beating on them, you know what? Maybe you want to hit somebody for the other football team. That might help. If you're not a coward, why don't you go hit somebody on the other basketball team, throw a few elbows instead of waiting until after the game and after you've had a drink or a joint, knocking somebody across the face because your girlfriend smiled at some other dude. You pathetic punks. And then if you're an 18-year-old kid and an agent, where are we going to punish the agent? Walks up to you and offers me $500 in cash just because he likes me and says, man, keep up the good work. I'm an alumni or I'm an agent. What are you going to do as an 18-year-old has no money? Say, nah, no thanks. And I was raised great. I come from a blue-collar family, never took a thing from anybody. You get to college, free TV to watch with my roommates? Shoot. Hey, please, here's where you plug it in. And it is all about the money, as Tim said. Let's get out to Anthony in New York. Anthony, what's going on, man? Great job yesterday co-hosting this show, and you're definitely coming back. So what's going on, bud?
Oh, not too much. Sean, I was on your Facebook this morning. I want to say congratulations. Hopefully everything works out for you.
Oh, yeah, with the new show?
That opportunity. Yeah, I hope that everything works out. Can't wait to see you.
Yep, just so people know, and thank you, Anthony. I want to get in. I appreciate it. I have agreed to another show, a television show, and it's going to be exactly what Jon Stewart does, and we're putting the pilot together. They're talking to the networks, and they're starting a national campaign. We'll go to Boston, Philly, New York, Chicago, the campaign here in the next 2 months, and get all the publicity out, and it's inside sports, and it's a sports and comedy mixed in. It'll be exactly what Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert do for The Daily Show, but nobody's done it for sports, and we're doing it for sports, and I was tabbed as their host. So I'm a huge Jon Stewart fan, and it gives me a chance to be unfiltered with some laughter behind it, and I couldn't be more thrilled. And that just came about this early this week. I haven't said anything about it, so we broke it here. Thank you very much, Anthony. I appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Thanks, man. It'll be awesome. Trust me, and it'll be in your face, but it'll also be with a funny twist at times too. So appreciate the compliment. But what else is happening?
Not too much. Exciting sport day for me tonight. I got tickets to the Ranger home opener tonight at the Garden, and then on my way to watch the Rangers and Yankees right after that. So it'll be a big night.
Yeah, it is, and that's right. The Rangers do open at home tonight, and you've led me to baseball. We've hit on this, and at 888-346-9144, and we'll continue to talk about it. This is an issue we can talk about every day, but people, you know, athletes beating on their girlfriends. Hey, we've all made mistakes, but you know what? You don't ever cross the line of grabbing a girl by the throat or hitting her. You just don't. NC2A and their stupid rules, agents and their pathetic attempt to buy athletes off, and then on the other side, the coaches that actually, are we kidding, think they don't know what's going on when people are getting paid? Stop it. But now it leads me to baseball, which I wanted to talk. We've got a, you know, this, we talked yesterday, Anthony, about this. You get to watch the Rangers, your hockey team at home, but then get to watch the Texas Rangers deal with the New York Yankees in Arlington. This city is going nuts, Anthony, as you can only imagine.
The
football talk is an afterthought. The Cowboys are, people actually really don't care right now. So
right.
My question to you is, with this going on, C.J. Wilson, C.C. Sabathia, is Wilson so relaxed that he could actually, and he had a wonderful season and a good playoff game, is he so relaxed that he could actually be, that he could give us a Cliff Lee-type performance because this is kind of, I'm just going to go out and do my thing?
I don't know if a Cliff Lee-type performance,
when I say,
you know,
Cliff Lee-type
is in order.
I'm talking about get you to 7 or 8 innings. I mean, that's an unfair comparison. That's like saying, is a basketball player going to go out and give you a Michael Jordan performance who is a backup point guard? You know, I mean, can he give the Rangers seven and a third innings and get to that bullpen and keep this game down for a guy who's never been in this situation?
I think he can. I think, you know, just from, I mean, I listen to the New York radio shows a lot. And, you know, the Yankees are never overconfident. You know, they're a professional team. However, I get the sense with this series, the way the media is portraying, right? I mean, everyone in this city is predicting the Yankees in five. Just that, you know, they're already talking about their starting Sabathia in game one because you need your world, you know, because he's got to start game one of the World Series. You know,
they've already looked ahead that they're waiting on Philly more than likely
absolutely.
To have one of those little interstate World Series.
Exactly. I mean, you can't. I mean, the papers, the media here. The series is over. They're going into this thinking. Well, if they're going into this saying that they're going to win these two games in Texas just because Cliff Lee is not pitching, they expect to come back 2-0. I mean, that's just usually with the Yankees, it's I don't know if the pitching rotation is going to come through. You know, we struggled at the end of the year. I think for the first time in a long time, they're overconfident. And I think the Rangers have a chance to really catch them, to catch them blindsided here.
Now, Anthony, really, you're there, and you're in the buzz of the Post and the Daily. You know, you're right there in the Times and the buzz of the fans walking down the streets and in restaurants and bars, and they'll be talking about it while you're watching your Ranger game tonight. I mean, and you mentioned, you don't know, but with the veteran leadership on this team, and it may not be coming from the players, but do you think that the players, would it be human nature – with every, because you know these people all watch SportsCenter, they all watch the local news, they all watch MSG, they all wake up and read their sports page while they're drinking their coffee or in the morning doing their thing,
mm-hmm.
or taking batting practice, whatever it is. Do you think the players, even though they're here now, but as the week went on, was there a sense, do you think that the players could actually, even though they're veterans, could get caught up in this thinking, the Rangers, ho-hum?
Oh, absolutely, only because I was listening to the New York radio here, and they had a couple, Girardi was on the radio Monday, and so even if they try to avoid it, they're getting asked questions about it. So it's got to be entering their mind, you know, that the media here is just putting added pressure on. And I expect this one, if the Rangers can get this to seven games, you have Cliff Lee going in game seven, it's theirs. That's what they have to do.
And you know what, Anthony, before we let you go, and great point, is that if in fact, and you made a point yesterday, and as I look into this more, I'm not so sure game three isn't a great situation for Cliff Lee to be in. Because that'll be the first game back in Yankee Stadium.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And I'm not so sure there's not more pressure on the Yankees to come in here and minimum split
right
against the Rangers, because I'm going to tell you, they might want to come in here and win 2-0, because I got a real gut feeling that in game three, Cliff Lee ain't losing.
No, that's the reason why they said the Yankees need to come in here and win two.
They do, because if they're 1-1 and they get down 1-2, Cliff Lee on the in 1-1, they're down 1-2, and all of a sudden they start to look up and say,
yeah,
this is a bit scary. The whole series can change. I agree. I don't think it's just a split here. And I picked the Yankees in six just because of the veteran leadership. I'm not so sure, Anthony, that the Yankees don't have to split to win the series. I'm not so sure they don't have to win two to win the series is my point.
Yes.
You make a great point, buddy. Hey, I hope you have a great weekend. Enjoy your Rangers tonight, their home opener. Enjoy this one. And I think even though I know I'm pulling for the Rangers, and the Yankees better not sleep on this team because they're pretty damn good.
No, I don't think they will. It'll be a good series, though.
Can't wait. Stay in touch. Drop me an email over the weekend, my man.
All right, will do, Sean.
Appreciate
have a good
you.
One.
Great stuff again yesterday.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you. We'll come back with some picks. Boy, this show's gone too fast. Fired up today. I'm Sean Salisbury. This is Voice America Sports. We're Unfiltered. Tim, Anthony, two of my favorites, man. They know sports. They get fired up, too. Right here on Voice America Sports, we're Unfiltered.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
It's football, pop culture, and everything in between. Get ready for The Game Plan with Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant. Anthony has a background in college and professional football and brings the player, coach, and broadcaster perspective to this weekly roundup of the top sports news and events. Big Ant wants to hear from you, too. Tune in to The Game Plan with Anthony Herron every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's game time. Do you love sports talk? Can't get enough sports talk? Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Are you ready to talk football with the greatest wide receiver player and coach in NFL history? Tune in to Wide Open with Andre Rison. Andre is ready to talk to you and give his thoughts on the sport. There'll be celebrity guests, coaches, players, artists, and more. He'll go beyond the game with a look from the coach's point of view and feature a high school player each week. Tune in to Wide Open with host Andre Rison, featured Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
We're finishing up here on Voice America Sports. Sean Salisbury, well, not on Voice America Sports, be going all day. But Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered, and looking forward to a fun-filled sports weekend. That being said, as Anthony and I just talked about the Yankees and the Rangers, Saturday, Halladay against Lincecum. I'm taking Halladay in his building at home. He's got a whole bunch of rest after throwing his no-hitter. Lincecum's filthy. I mean, I don't know how you pick six and one, half dozen the other. But I'm taking Halladay at home. I think the bats will awaken at some point in this series for Philadelphia, big time. They won't awaken against Lincecum, but I think they'll do enough just to win. And tonight, with Sabathia and C.J. Wilson, I believe the Yankees are in a must-win. I don't think they can split and for sure not go down 0-2 with Cliff Lee pitching Game 3 and a calming effect in Yankee Stadium. It won't affect him at all that presence, the guy's money in the postseason, as good as there is. Now, you know, Andy Pettitte is pretty damn good too. So let's not go over, keep all talking about Sabathia and Halliday and Lincecum and Cliff Lee and Mariano Rivera. Let's not forget one of the great postseason pitchers of all times, Andy Pettitte. So do not sleep on him. That being said, Sabathia gets C.J. Wilson tonight. You know, pull for the Rangers right here. The city's going crazy. They could use a winner right now in Texas. But I got to go with being unbiased. I think the Yankees win tonight, and they must get two, I think, so they can go back with a little comfort when Cliff Lee's pitching game three. Let's switch to college football and run through these. I know we don't have a whole lot of time to get through all these picks, but I'll just give you a reason quickly. Ohio State at Wisconsin. You know what? Dare I do this? Dare I do it? And Ohio State could win by 30, folks. But I think they're four at Camp Randall. This Wisconsin team's pretty good at home. They haven't played well. Everybody thinks, and Ohio State's newly dubbed number one. You know, this is just going to be a fun pick for me. Maybe because I think the Oregons of the world can play with anybody. But I'm going to pick Wisconsin at home in a night game with that crazy crowd. I think they're going to beat Ohio State. How's that? Ohio State's favorite. But that's my upset of the week. Stupid as I may be, and don't you can call me next week and say, Sean, Ohio State beat him by 30. It could happen. This is a fun pick, and I have nothing to go on other than it's at home, and they're going to be going crazy in Camp Randall, and Wisconsin hasn't played well, and maybe the jinx of being number one. Arkansas at Auburn. I'm taking Auburn at home. Also, Arkansas, obviously, we know they can throw it, but they get careless with the football. I'm taking Auburn at home. Iowa and Michigan, I love the way Denard Robinson plays. And after last week's butt-kicking, and number four, Iowa plays really good defense, but can they protect their passer? At the Big House, which I don't know, I mean, it's a good building, but sometimes not as loud as you'd think for 100-and-some thousand. But another one for me, I'm going to take Michigan at home. Iowa's a better football team, but Denard Robinson's special. This is my football crush, and I think Denard Robinson, just on the player, the way he plays, I'm going to take him at home. After his bad game, I don't see him coming back and playing two bad games. Nebraska beats Texas. Nebraska's a top five team in the country. They're going to win. Texas was overrated at the beginning and is not a great team, and they're going on the road. Nebraska wins. Missouri, Texas, A&M. A&M will bounce back, even though number 19 Missouri is, you know, they're 5-0, number 19 meaning the USA Today poll I'm talking about. But I'm going to take Texas A&M at home, all those traditions they got there. It's about time. Even though Texas A&M won last week, this team, they're still not in a rhythm. They turn it over. They got to play better football, and they will. Cal at Southern Cal. This SC will respond and win this game. Cal's going down to the Coliseum. SC's defense will give up points, but I think their offense will be enough to overcome it. And Illinois is going to give Michigan State a battle, but Michigan State's going to end up winning in the end. And Florida State should beat Boston College. The question is, which Florida State team shows up? The athletic team that can make all kinds of plays. Ole Miss, I pity you this week. After what happened to Alabama, I pity you this week. Ole Miss going into Tuscaloosa, that could be a bloodbath for Ole Miss. After Alabama and Nick Saban, we know he went off on his team. Alabama's going to win that one. And the National Football League, Miami at the Green Bay Packers. It's an unfair Aaron Rodgers practice. I don't know how to make this pick because I don't know about Aaron Rodgers yet. I think my gut is he's going to play, and I think the Green Bay Packers respond and will beat Miami at home. I think they will. Aaron Rodgers is a good football player if he plays. If not, Miami's going to win the game. So I don't like to qualify things like that, but it's a world of difference at the quarterbacks there. The Lions at the Giants. Lions play so hard. Man, I love the way they play, but the Giants are in a rhythm now. That defense will take over. Seahawks at Bears. Seahawks can't score, and the Chicago Bears not going to let them score much. Seahawks offense isn't any good, especially away from home. Chicago should dominate that game. Saints at Tampa. Love the way Tampa's playing, and Josh Freeman is going to be a really good player. It reminds me of Culpepper. But the Saints will finally get into a rhythm and make some plays and win. Falcons at Eagles, this is scary. This is very, very scary. Michael Vick's going to start. Atlanta at Philly. Atlanta plays well. If Vick starts and gets to go the whole game, I think Philadelphia wins this game at home, even though the Falcons, for the most part, are favored by most people. I'm going to take Philly at home in the upset. Kansas City at Houston. Houston will respond and beat the Chiefs in Houston. Houston has not looked good, and you can throw the ball on them. I love the excitement of Kansas City, but I think Houston gets to 4-2. San Diego at St. Louis. Sam Bradford's going to have to, make some plays. The Chargers, are, you know, get McNeil signed. Merriman's going to be gone. The Chargers are 2-3. I don't see them losing again. I think the Chargers will respond. And Phillip Rivers is on his way to 5,000 yards. The Browns at Steelers, I would not want to be Colt McCoy. Good luck to you, Texas fella. But you're playing against the wrong team to have your first start. I've played against the Steelers in situations like this. It is going to be ugly for the Cleveland Browns offense, but Colt McCoy will learn. It'll be just like he's getting thrown in just like Garrett Gilbert did in the national championship game against Alabama. Not a place you want to be. The Jets at Denver Broncos, a lot of people are taking Denver to win. I just still think the Jets are better because they're going to throw the whole game and they're going to blitz the whole game, and Kyle Orton will put up yards, but Kyle Orton will get hit enough and there'll be enough turnovers forced by the Jets. Jets will win on the road. Raiders at 49ers. I'm just going to pick the 49ers till they win. Oakland coming off an impressive victory. Let's just take the 49ers and see if they can actually get on the board and win. They need one. The Dallas Cowboys at the Minnesota Vikings. Dallas gets to 1-4. Brett Favre did all this text messaging, BS and crap. It's ridiculous. And go back onto football. Tendonitis is practicing. You know he's not going to miss a start. I think it's his 290th straight start. They're at home. Adrian Peterson. The Cowboys, they won't give up. They don't score a lot of points on defense. They don't force a lot of turnovers. The key for this game is to get on Brett Favre early, to make sure you jump out and make the Minnesota Vikings chase. If they're not in the chase mode, they can get into the rhythm where Brett doesn't have to throw every down. Adrian Peterson will gash him just like Chris Johnson did. The Minnesota Vikings win to put a save on their season. The Cowboys go to 1-4 and will not make the playoffs this year after this weekend. Colts at Redskins. A lot of people want this. They think it's Redskins are going to be upset. They've been winning ugly, as have the Colts. Kind of similar between the two. Quarterbacks are playing well at times and basically carrying them, but I don't see Peyton Manning. They struggled last week, and the Colts won, scored 19 points or whatever it was in their victory last week. At least it was ugly for most of the game. But they need some help. But even going on the road, Peyton Manning keeps the team focused. The Redskins have won, but they haven't won in impressive fashion to me. I'm going to take the Colts to go on the road and win. The Titans and Jaguars, this is one hell of a football game. One hell of a football game. Jacksonville's physical. I'm going to take Tennessee to go on the road and win this game, too. Coming off the Dallas win, Jeff Fisher, Jack Del Rio, two of my very dear friends. It's tough to pick against either one of them, but I am going to take the Tennessee Titans on the road against Jacksonville. And then Baltimore and New England, the game of the week. I pick the Ravens to go to the Super Bowl. I believe they're going to. But this sets up too good for New England. Brady's pissed. No Randy Moss. Everybody questioning the New England Patriots. Baltimore coming off some wins. Everybody telling Baltimore how great they are. Everybody telling New England they don't like Belichick. They're the best team at closing it down, circling the wagons, and taking care of their business, and they'll do it this week. Ravens are my Super Bowl team. Patriots get to 4-1 on this one and make it interesting. But if you want to see a lot of talking in a physical game and you're faint of heart, don't watch this one because it's going to get nasty. The difference is, where's number 12 for the New England Patriots? Tom Brady and Wes Welker will find a way to get open. There's your picks. Hope you enjoy your football and baseball weekend. What an unbelievable time to be a sports fan. To my callers, to my man Dion, for running the board here and getting it going, and for the opportunities I've been given here at Voice America Sports and get this unfiltered thing going, which is leading to so many other great things. Guys, my heart's full and I'm humbled and gracious, and never in my life have I felt more happy to be a part of what I'm doing. Because you know what? When you're on top, fall down, and start to work the ladder back up, it sure is a very, very rewarding time, and couldn't have done it without great fans and support. I love this job. I love my career, and I appreciate it. Forever grateful. We'll be unfiltered, coming back fired up. I'm Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered. Have a great sports weekend. Celebrate it and have one for me. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered. We hope you'll come back weekdays at 11 a.m. in the East, 8 a.m. in the West, on the Voice America Sports Channel. Take care.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.